Keith Ferguson's on Facebook. Oh, look, guys, lovely to see everyone. As you know, we have Grant Abbott and his family with us. Grant is our SRE teacher at Wauchope High School. Grant has taken Wauchope High School by storm. He's been with us for 18 months now, and if there's ever been a celebrity SRE teacher, Grant is it. The kids love him. I won't say all the staff love him, but they all know who he is. And he has taken his scripture class this year, and he'll tell you about that, I'm sure. He had two kids earlier in the year, and now well in the 20s, which is great with kids having to opt in. So I will just open for us in prayer, and then we'll hear from Grant. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for Grant. Thank you for his family. Thank you for his enthusiasm, his encouragement, his dedication to you. I pray that you continue to bless his SRE role at Wauchope High School. And I pray that he continues to fill classrooms, and that that every kid at Wauchope High School can hear about you. We pray that Grant speaks well today. We pray that you bless his talk, and we thank you for him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks,
man.
Oh, Matt, what does ADNAS stand for?
All day I dream about sex.
Scripture. Now, it's true. He's such a crazy guy, isn't he? Which I love him. But at school, you can actually ask the kids at Wauchope High, what does ADNAS stand for? And they will tell you, all day I dream about scripture. That's actually true, which is quite amazing. And they tell their friends, I'll come up and they'll say, what's ADNAS stand for again, sir? And I'll say, all day I dream about scripture. And they go, sir, I told you. And then now the kids are saying, hey, look, I've got ADNAS socks, I've got ADNAS top, I've got ADNAS. And they're showing off the ADNAS, which is really cool. That's right across the school. ADAS is cool way of advertising scripture. G'day, I'm Grant, and today, if you like chocolate, sit near the front. No one likes chocolate. Sit near the front. You need to come closer. You need to come closer. Can't throw that far. Okay. Look, you're going to taste that and tell how nice it is, because it really, really is good. All right, I'm going to ask lots of questions today because I know Tony normally prepares his message. I'd rather you guys give me the answers. Who's the smart one? Now, coming here, we've had prayer. In the Bible, not looking at the resurrection, but looking at the miracles that Jesus did in his public ministry, which miracle is the only miracle recorded in each of the four Gospels? You have to be near the front to get it. Come on, no, you're not near the front. Okay, what do you think? Oh, yes, that's good. You also knew what I was teaching on today. Oh, look, bad throw. Just for a moment, I thought I'm going to look cool. Then that moment disappeared. All right, what can you do? All right, so today we're looking at John's account. So if you wouldn't mind turning to John chapter 6. We're looking at verses 1 to 15. John chapter 6. If you have it on your phone, that is awesome. Some people think it's not real. They think it's only phony, but I know it's real. Okay, you wouldn't read about it. You like that, don't you? You laughed at one of my jokes. Oh, good for you. Yes. Again, if you come closer, you'll get chocolate. She's smart. I tell you, she's a clever person. All right. All right, so rather than read the whole passage out, I'll just quickly tell you that it's in four different parts. If you want to check later on, Matthew 14, 13 to 21, Mark 6, 32 to 44, Luke chapter 9, verse 10 to 17, and of course John chapter 6, verse 1 to 15. Now, this is actually all about testing. Has anyone here ever been tested? Okay, been tested? Been tested? As a Christian, you've been tested? You just want a chocolate, don't you? I know, you should come closer. Here we go. Ah! Was that a better throw or a better catch? I think it was a better catch. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, Matt could have dived, you know, over the chair. He could have got it. Anyway, so moving back to this. So we don't like testing, do we? I don't like being tested because it shows what we're like. One way we're tested, has anyone ever heard of a bathroom scale? You ever heard of one of those? Has anyone not heard of one of those? You know when you weigh yourself, you know, weight, Right. Now, not everyone here is slim like me. Okay, some people, they don't like being weighed on the bathroom scales. I don't mind, because I can actually put my hands on the thing there and put my pressure down and then look down, and it's not too bad, right? But if I just let myself go, the scale will actually not just tell me what I want to know, but it will tell me what I need to know. Testing, all right? And sometimes we think, you know, I have faith and say, okay, well, do you really? And then they test you on that. So the very beginning of time, you know, when with people being made here, Adam and Eve was tested, weren't they? Right? And they failed the test. Because it's about putting faith in God. And every day we learn to either put faith in God or we put faith in something else. But anything else is going to let us down. And so when we look at the feeding of 5,000, Jesus takes an opportunity to actually test. Now, we're going to put feelings into this, and it's not in this passage, but I cheated by reading the four accounts, right? Because I wanted to get the whole thing. So I don't know if you've ever spoken to someone. If you're at school, for instance, if you're a deputy, and someone comes and says what happened, then they say, I want three or four accounts, okay? And they get different people to sit down independent of each other, and they write out what happened. Then the deputy looks at it and works out, these are things I have in common. I didn't realise that. That makes sense. And then they make a larger version of what happened and they get to the truth. And with the Gospels, this is the only time we can actually look at the four accounts and work out a lot more than what we'd know if we only had one. For instance, the setting. What were the disciples doing before the feeding of 5,000? A big event in their life. Anyone know? Chocolates waiting. Anyone know? Want to have a guess what they may have been doing? Fishing. That's great, but you're wrong. Yes. All right. Well, actually, technically, you're right. Because Jesus called his first disciples and said, I'll make you fishers of men. And he sends them out, the 12. Later on, sends out the 70. 120, sorry. Get it right. But when he sends out the 12... two by two, they go out to all these different places and they witness for Jesus and they have to learn to have faith in him to provide. And so they don't take any extra stuff. They have to really wait on God to provide for them. So they learn about trusting God to provide. Jesus heard in all four accounts, this is mentioned. Someone of importance dies. And it really affects Jesus. They get beheaded. Grace. Bad catch. Now. Okay. For being rude to you, Grace. Grace? Bad throw. That's right. Now. You can imagine disciples have just had this mission. Have you ever been part of a mission at the church and you've worked really hard for a week and at the end of the week you just want a break, okay? You just want to get away. Jesus actually looks at these people and he knows that they need a rest. So he takes them to a solitary place. It's not away from everything. It's actually one of the accounts actually says a name of a town beginning with B, but it's pretty hard to understand. So it's Bethsaida. And so there's towns nearby. But this place is a lonely place. It's a solitary place. A bit like All Hope. And so, there we go. Jesus is feeling really bad. He needs to get away. He needs a break from the people. He needs a rest from the crowds. The disciples need a rest as well. They get in the boat. And we'll go from there. One last thing. In John's Gospel, he records an account previous to this where Jesus basically tells the religious leaders that because you don't accept Moses and what he taught, you don't accept me because Moses spoke about me. Now that's going to be important in today's message. All links together. My first point is this. People followed the signs but failed to follow Jesus. Chapter 6, verse 1. Sometime after this, which is after Jesus had told the religious leaders that You're not listening to what the Bible is pointing to. Moses points to me. You're not putting your faith in me. I'm doing all these signs that point to me being the Christ, the Messiah, God in human flesh, but you're not accepting that. Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. That is the Sea of Tiberias. That's what the Romans called it. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. So the reason they followed him wasn't to put faith in him, not to follow him, not to listen to him, but to get something from him. That's what they wanted. A lot of people like that today. If you could do signs and wonders, you'll have the biggest church in Moorhead. You may not have that many people following Jesus, but you have a lot of people following the signs that like the excitement. The signs all pointed to Jesus being the promised Christ. Cheat note is at the back of John's Gospel. Basically says that all the things he did, well, you couldn't actually record them in a book. There's so much you could, you know, write so many books you'd go between here and the moon. But the signs here are just to show you who Jesus is, which is the Son of God, and by believing that, you will have eternal life. So it's all about, if you get it right about putting your faith in Jesus, you get eternal life. You don't put your faith in Jesus, you don't get eternal life. It's not about how you feel, it's not about what you experience, but in whom do you put your faith? That's what makes the difference. Point two, Jesus tested his disciples. Because remember, they'd just come back from learning to put faith in God to provide. Not by human means, but by supernatural means, just trusting God. Do you know how God provides so well? One of the greatest things was when I took the job at War Hope, I thought, why am I doing this? I have to drive from Taree to Warhope. But you know what? The drive between Taree and Warhope has been my best devotional time. I have the Christian radio station, Rima. I have prayer. And sometimes I just get my heart poured out to God as I'm going along. It's just been so good. And it was one day I was driving along and I just said, you know, Lord, can you please open up a doorway for me today to communicate and connect with the kids at the school? Open a doorway. And see how good God is. God is not subtle. He gives you a sign to show he is in control. I had a period off before lunchtime. And just before lunch, I thought, if I get to the canteen early, I don't have to push those kids out of the way. All right? I can just get in there, get all the food, because I'm scared of becoming anorexic. All right? And I'm winning. Okay? I'm not going to get there. Anorexia is never going to get me. And so there's this massive storm happens. The power goes off in the school. And this is the first time I'd learnt that the door at the canteen has an electronic lock. So you open it up and it stays there. But without electricity, it doesn't. So I just said, oh, look, you know, I'm here. I can hold the door open, right? And it's just start of lunch. So I stood there holding the door open and all the kids lined up to go in the canteen. And they're all talking to me as I went past. Can you open a doorway for me today to connect with the kids? Can you make it a bit less subtle? You know, God is in control. He is in control. He can make something out of nothing. Another time, the end of last year, December, just so happened that our credit card was being pretty maxed out and Christmas was coming and I thought, I need some money. So I prayed, I said, Lord, can you please provide finances for me to pay off my credit card? I don't know how I was going to do that, but I just thought God can do anything, right? That was Wednesday. On the Sunday, I was out at someone's place for lunch, because I like eating, and I get a phone call from my church. She basically said, oh, someone from the church in the morning who didn't even know me a couple of years back and didn't want to be named had given me a gift. And I thought, probably a bag of Bibles, right? I can understand that. Bag of Bibles. Everyone gives you Bibles, they can give to the kids, right? And so I said, just leave it on at the church at the front. I run the service at night, so that'll be fine. I said, no, I need to give it to you personally. So the head elder of our church, Presbyterian Church down in Taree, came round to our place, and he had a package about that long. And I thought, a block of chocolate. They should have gone to Specsavers, right? I do not need chocolate. And so then I got a bit greedy, and I thought, I love pens. My wife will tell you I love pens, right? And I said, maybe it's a pen, right? But I thought, oh, that's asking too much. So I opened it up, cut a long story short, all these $100 bills, $20,000. God is not subtle. Not subtle. Not only did I have my credit card paid off, but now we're building a house and we have the right amount of money to buy the extra things because of that $20,000. I didn't realize that at the time. God knows what we need before we even ask. God is a great provider. Right? And that's putting faith in Him. Not in me, if I'm a better person, if I'm more religious, maybe more things will happen in my life. No, faith in Jesus, because Jesus is in control of the universe. $20,000 to Him is nothing. To us, you're like, oh, that's pretty good. Maybe I'll pray to God this week for $20,000. Right? God will provide what we need at the right time to do His will. Whatever that may be. And I'm convinced at the end of last year, I told Matt that I wouldn't be at Warhope the following year. I was giving up on Warhope. And then I told him I was still staying, and he just smiled and thought, yeah, you're not going to go. Right? Because God keeps providing. And here, these people are in a situation where the disciples had to be convinced that Jesus provides, but He already has on their mission trip. And they should have brought that in with them, thinking, God's provided for us in the past, so of course He'll provide for us now. But we forget lessons, don't we? We forget. And we go back to trusting ourselves, trusting the circumstances, and not trusting God. Jesus tested His disciples, verse 3 to 9. Then Jesus went up on a mountain and sat down with His disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. Now, when that's put in there, you think, why? John is only putting in what is really necessary. At Passover time, the Jews from right around the world came back to Jerusalem, and they were thinking about the promised Messiah, someone who could save them, someone would be better than Moses. Moses, with God's power, opened up an ocean and killed the enemies that were trying to kill them. Provided for them in the wilderness this food for 40 years. That's huge. And they're all thinking, maybe this year we'll know about the Messiah. And they're obviously thinking it could be Jesus, because I don't know what makes you get out of home and travel to a long distance walking. But these people thought it was worthwhile. They knew He'd been doing these miracles, been doing all this healing the sick. And they thought, maybe, just maybe, He's that prophet that Moses spoke about. So you get there, when Jesus looked up and saw the great crowd coming towards Him, which disciple does He ask a question to? Philip. I didn't know this until this morning. It's really dangerous when you read the Bible, you learn things. But when I was looking through it, I realized that this is right near where Philip came from. And a lot of the local people came from local towns, were his local community. And God always wants us to be out there with our local community making a difference. Now, I don't know what the answer is to this, but imagine if, look, I don't want to preempt it, but Tony's going to get up later on and say, the church is closed today, won't be operating anymore after today. Now, if that happened, this is only made up, but if that happened, would the local community start to put stuff in the paper and say, this is an outrage? How can we not have this church in Warhope? This church is so impacting our community that we want them to stay. Or would they go, oh, was there a church meeting there? We didn't know. I don't know the answer. You do. Because you know what happens in His church. But one of the ways you impact the community is at Wauchope High School. When one of the kids says, you know, who supports you to be here? I say the Baptist community. There are a bunch of Christians that believe that we should be telling you guys about Jesus. And they might use a letter of the alphabet. Why? I said, because they want you to understand who Jesus is. Why? So you can respond to who Jesus is and have eternal life. And I'll answer, why not? I know, it's pretty sad, but thank you for laughing. You may have wanted a chocolate. So he asks Philip, he wants to make it personal. Which is really, and he wants to make it personal for us. He wants to use us to be the witness for our neighbours. He wants us to be witness to our community, to our schools, to our workplaces. Where we are, he wants us to be where the multitudes are and care for them. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd come towards him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Here's the test. A good response would be, all I really need is you. Remember, Jesus got tested by Satan about bread? If you really are the Son of God, you can turn these stones into bread. Now, he was starving. He'd been fasting. He was really, really hungry, and he had the power to do that. Sounds like a good plan. But he was trusting God's word. And he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but... you get two chocolates. Excellent. And so even then, he realized that God's word was the most important of everything else. And we also know that God's word in human flesh is? Who was the first one? It was you.
I wasn't sure if you won that one or you came a tie.
All right. So he said, John gives away this. He says, he asks this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him. Here's the real answer of faith, isn't it? It makes sense. You've got 5,000 men plus women and children. I think Mark tells you it's got women and children as well, his account. But this one doesn't. But we know there's more than 5,000 people. Imagine if I said to you today, I want you to feed everyone in Wauchope lunch. Would you go, absolutely, that's no problems at all. I can do that. Right? So logically, he's an intelligent person. It would take more than half a year's wages. So he obviously thought about it. Got his calculator out. To buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. It was funny, actually, a student asked me to bite them the other day at school. True story. I came out of the canteen with some food, and one of the other students, one student there said, sir, can I have a bite? I went, yeah, sure, come here. Kids, crazy, aren't they? Sad thing is, that's a true story. All right. Another of his disciples, Andrew, he's another person who's going to use his faith. What do we have? Maybe what we have will be enough. And that's a good thing. Simon Peter's brother spoke up. Here is a boy. The boy's a hero of the story. This is a miracle in itself. A young person giving away his lunch. Right? That is a miracle. Right? Sometimes kids at school, they give me food. Right? They obviously worried about me being too slim. And I take it because I know it's a great compliment that they're giving away food. A teenager who gives away food to someone is, wow, it's like someone giving you $1,000, all right? It's really, really special, right? Which is cool. Here is a boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But then he goes again to say, but how far will they go among so many? In other words, he doesn't understand, does he? It's not enough. If he gives all he's got, it's not enough. It's not going to go anywhere. But he doesn't understand like us adults do. Because this kid has too much faith. He doesn't have the reasoning we do. Look at that later. But here we go. Next on the hit list. Jesus shows who he is through his actions. Do you know that? He does what he does through his actions. Verse 10. Jesus said, have the people sit down. In other accounts, actually, they put them in groups of 50 and so. And so it's easy to count them that way. Because you ever ask the question, how do they know how many people were there? 100,000 to... What was that? Oh, okay, later. See what I mean? But they did. Because it was important. Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, because he's here to do the work of his Father. He's given it to God's hands. He's a perfect image of God that we should follow. When we do something, we say, look, it's what I got. It's now over to you to use what I have for your glory. Don't look at what you have already and think, well, it's not good enough really, so I'm not going to give it to you, because let's face it, I can't be used. All right? You need this guy. He can play a piano and lead a service and do a children's talk, but I can't do that. Gave thanks and distributed it to those who were seated as much as they wanted. Has anyone ever been to all-you-can-eat restaurant? Right? Pretty amazing, right? Imagine going all day without food and then going to all-you-can-eat restaurant. Wouldn't it be great? You go for it. It'd be awesome, wouldn't it? It'd be like a pig in a pig trough. Just go, go, go. Well, these guys, they didn't just go, oh, I'll just have a little bit. I'm watching my figure. But they figured they got free lunch. They're going to eat as much as they like, which is really cool. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, and again, it's part of the test. He shows who he is by his actions. He's just done something, and it's not all, it looks like it's a bit chaotic, but it's not. He knows exactly what he's doing. Gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted, because he's using this as a teaching for the disciples. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces of 5 barley loaves and left over by those who had eaten. Now, why 12? Is that just random? 12 disciples? Give you that one anyway. But there's more. Yes. Yes. What? Yes.
And someone on his team, they wanted to get away from the goal, so they quickly kicked it out. And there was this man walking along, and his lady next to him. And when the ball came, he did the right thing. He moved out of the way, and the lady got hit, and she went down. So I just thought of that when I was throwing that. And who says chivalry is dead? That's a true story. Did that happen yesterday, guys? Yeah, look it up. Thinking, yeah, guys are great, aren't they? He's showing that this is Jewish people he's ministering to, not like another gospel went goes for the Gentiles as well, but he's the God who will provide for all of Israel. He won't waste anything. He's completely sufficient to provide for Israel, and we're talking about eternal life there. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. Jesus, knowing what they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. One of the accounts share that he was actually teaching about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is central to acknowledging Jesus as your king, to serve your king. But they wanted a king that would serve them. It's like over here when you have elections, people don't say, well, I want to serve this person. They say, we want our leader to serve us and to do what we say. And if you don't serve us, we'll reject you because you will serve us. Because back to Genesis 3, when they disobeyed God, it was about who's really God. Is it the God of the universe or we God? And if we're God, the Creator should serve us. But if God's God, we should serve the Creator. Got the idea? And that's why it was rejected. They weren't accepting him as saying, you are the prophet. Now, the funny thing is, it comes from Deuteronomy. This is where they're thinking. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. So like Moses, who could feed people in the wilderness. And that's where they were in the wilderness. He was on the mountain giving God's word like Moses. Maybe he could kill the Romans. Maybe he could continue to raise up our dead who are fighting against the Romans and feed us when we only have like one sandwich left. He can make enough for everyone in the place. This is the guy who could really meet our needs of what we want. The guy will come from your fellow Israelites. But the thing is, they didn't listen to. In the passage it says, you must listen to him. But they don't listen. Moses had fed the people and he had them go out of bondage. Jesus had fed the people. Jesus could lead the people out of the hated Roman bondage. The people saw his sign, but they didn't perceive its meaning. It was pointing to him being God who fed people in the Old Testament. He's the God who is the only one who can give us eternal life. The only one who can make us right between God and man is Jesus. He's the one who deserves all worship and glory. But they wanted the glory for themselves. Have you ever become angry with God because he didn't give you what you wanted? Okay, you asked for something. Can't you hear me? I've asked you this before. Who do you think you are? Don't you know who I am? Am I the only one who's ever done that? No? Yeah, you understand?
And then I had a letter saying the bailiff was coming, and I freaked out. I said, you've been promising me I'm going to prosper, because every time I read the Bible, it said you're going to prosper. Anyway, the outcome in the end was, the bailiff wasn't the bailiff, it was a man come to buy the property, so there you go.
There you go. God is in charge, isn't he? God's in charge. All right? You're really expecting him to work for you and do what you wanted, just like the people. I think we got that idea. Remember that from Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, 20, you're not your own, you were bought with a price. Jesus bought us so we could be his people. And I'm really glad that you started off by saying about being made in God's image, because this is what this is about. Jesus is the exact image of God. When we become a follower of Jesus, we learn to become more like Jesus, which is more like the image of God that we were designed to be. He completely trusted his Father to provide. He didn't say, again, just going back a little bit, when he grabbed... when Jesus said, you know, give me the stuff, he didn't say, hey, everyone, I'm Jesus. Watch this, everyone. Yeah! And for the sand. Woo! There's some more food for you. Hey! That's Jesus. Son of God. Right? Remember what he does? Father, this is food you've provided. Please provide for your people. And what does he do? His Father hears his prayer and answers it. So we're like two, aren't we? We can pray to our Father through Jesus and say, Lord, this is our situation. can you please use what's here for your glory? Because I want people to know more about who Jesus is. Help me to be a sign pointing to Jesus. Conclusion. Our faith's tested daily. That's just a thing that happens. Sometimes we fail. And it's okay. Every mistake is a learning opportunity. We have to remember how God has been faithful to us in the past so we can trust him in the future. Even the Israelites still do it. They reenact when they were out in the wilderness. They reenact all these different things that God has done for them in the past. Why? So they can be reminded that right now when they're thinking, oh, this is a hopeless situation, what can I do? They can say, well, I thought that in the past as well. But God is not a hopeless God. He's a God who gives hope. He's a God that in any situation, we don't have to lean on our own understanding. But in all our ways, we can acknowledge him and he'll direct our path. I'm living testimony to that. Matt will tell you that at the school, I hope I'm not going over, he might actually correct me on it, but I'm one of the most popular teachers in the school. I do a lot of casual work there. And the kids are really warm towards me, but they all know I'm the Christian guy. And now at any class, they can ask me about God. Any class. Because I know I'm the same person wherever I go. And God provides those opportunities, and he'll use someone like me or like you to let people know who Jesus is, which is really cool. James says in verses 2 to 4 in chapter 1, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Isn't that cool? Next time we're tested and we're doubting, let's remember how God's been faithful in the past and put our faith in him. One last thing. Every one of us is called to be fat. True. Yes. Let me tell you why. Faithful, available, and teachable. Thank you.
Thanks, Grant. I think you've challenged us today. Every single one of it, me included, has something that we need to take home and think about. So please stand. We will have an opportunity for those who want to serve this next Friday. We're going to be having a community barbecue specifically targeting the Aboriginal community. So that will be Friday night. Let's have a word. Grant, thank you.